The Václav Havel Library was initially set up in 2004, just after President Havel ended his final term of office. The idea was that it would become a focal point for Havel's legacy, bringing together material connected with his life and work, and with the principles that Havel embraced as a playwright, dissident, and president. But where does the library go now that Václav Havel has died? David Vaughan talks to Martin Palos, who took over as director of the library just a few months before Havel's death in December.
Martin Palos is well qualified for the job. He has known Václav Havel most of his life, was one of the first signatories of Charter 77, and became its spokesman in 1986. Like President Havel, he went on after the fall of communism to have a career in the public eye, first as an academic and then a diplomat, serving as the Czech Republic's ambassador to the United States and then as permanent representative to the United Nations. Martin Palos will certainly be needing his diplomatic skills. Just in the 3 months since Havel died, there have already been several very public rows over his legacy. I met Martin Palos at the inconspicuous temporary offices of the library in Prague's New Town to talk about his plans.
Václav Havel himself, in the fall of 2010, asked me whether I would be willing to take over this job. He himself started to think about his legacy just right after he left the president's office.
And that was back in 2003.
In February, I believe it was. And then the idea of Václav Havel's library, inspired by the example of American presidential libraries. Obviously, American models can be only in a limited way transferred to the Czech Republic. It is the first institution of this kind, so we are trying to find a way how to do things.
And so President Havel invited you himself to direct the library. You must have been aware that it's a little bit of a poison chalice, because Václav Havel was such a public figure. In this country, there's so many people who feel, in a way, that Havel is theirs, and I think that's part of what Havel is in this country, that he did represent so much, he was a symbol of so much in this country. You've also got the heirs, now that President Havel is no longer with us, of dealing with his family. You've got constant press attention, you've got the question of Václav Havel's legacy abroad. It's a pretty tough job, and I mean, your predecessors have certainly found it very difficult.
Václav Havel's original profession was a playwright, and absurd drama was maybe the field in which he felt like at home. And I feel that it looks like that I was invited to play a role in one of the absurd dramas of Václav Havel in the position of director of his library.
So from there above somewhere, Havel is directing your life even after he's gone.
I think that it looks like that he is still some sort of invisible director of things.
And you mentioned the core activity of the library being inspired by the example of the libraries that have been set up by former United States presidents. So what is the core work of the library, or the core idea of the library?
Well, obviously, the core thing is the life and work of a concrete person, of Václav Havel, which means that we collect archival documents that are relevant in this context, and obviously trying to establish all the relationships with Czech National Archive, and so on and so forth. We would like to have some educational programs, because Václav Havel never wanted to see his institute be turned into a kind of monument of his achievements, but also some sort of lively, living place where people can meet, discuss, and keep something like Havelian tradition alive in the changing circumstances. You can trace our history, transition from the 20th to the 21st century, the transition from communism to whatever we have right now, through the experiences and writings, knowledge generated by Václav Havel. So I wouldn't like to say that everything what he ever said was right, but it's very interesting to look at that and start a new round of debate.
And as you say, Havel was vehement that he didn't want this institution to become a monument to him. But in a sense, the moment he died, there's inevitably an element of that, isn't there? And I wanted to ask you, in what ways your work has changed fundamentally with the death of Václav Havel?
Obviously, the life of Václav Havel is now before us as a whole, and so obviously it is a significant event, and we are in the beginning of a new stage of the development of the library. Now really the question of legacy of Václav Havel has become important for us, so part of our efforts now is to turn it into, I would say, international institution that can be measured by international standards.
And as a former diplomat, I mean, you must be very aware of the symbolism attached to Václav Havel's name abroad. And obviously this is a legacy which a lot of people are going to be trying to use or possibly abuse. Already there have been rows that have emerged over Havel's legacy, that even within the first weeks and months since his death. How on earth can you charter these waters?
This is what you get. We would like to find meaningful solutions for all the problems. It's, I think, understandable, because obviously the death of Václav Havel was really seen as a strong emotional moment. So I hope that things are going to calm down. Most likely you have heard about this controversy about human rights award to be created
in Václav Havel's name. Yes.
Havel. Certainly things like that belong to our sphere of interest. We would certainly like to think about something like that together with other institutions and individuals that have been around.
That's always a danger, isn't it? You all end up competing with each other rather than actually saying we're serving a single legacy.
It was the Václav Havel's intention that his library should be a guardian of his legacy, but at the same time we don't want to pretend that we should censor others, control others, because there is a lot of spontaneity in a human society. If there is an initiative to organize a Havel seminar, it should not be controlled by the library. We would like to serve others and not to be seen as a protector or as a censor or as an inspector of anything.
And in terms of concrete changes, obviously there are two things since Havel has died. One is that his office, which was very active even after he stopped being president, has been dissolved. And also, obviously, there's a question of his personal literary legacy, presumably. He must have had a lot of books, a lot of correspondence at home. Is that also going to expand the library's collections, or is that very much in the hands of the family?
Mrs. Havel, she is obviously the main person in that situation. We are trying to collect whatever materials we can get from family, from the friends, from whoever. And at the same time, we respect decisions of all players. It's a movement of copyrights and so on and so forth. So the library is going to be, or it's our intention to be, a real center of future Havel research, facilitator of communication, organizer of events. But obviously, as this is the same thing as with everything in life, life is always richer and sometimes mysterious and adventurous and transcends the ambitions of any concrete institution.
And so you talk about the plans for the future of the library being, in a way, to embrace the spirit of Havel and the legacy of what he believed in. What does that mean concretely?
We are preparing three international seminars for this year. First one to be organized with our partner institutions in New York in May. And this will be something like Havel and the United States. It will be rather about American perception of Václav Havel, and obviously we'll try a big event in New York City commemorating Václav Havel's almost triumphal arrival to New York in February of 1990. And there we would like also to launch the library as a big project. In September we will have in Budapest, in cooperation with Central European University, an event called, my working title, Open Society Between Past and Future, because Open Society was a concept that was very high in circulation in the early 1990s. And obviously with the arrival of post-European age of the 21st century, it might be interesting to look at this debate. And again, Václav Havel is a central figure here. And the third thing is going to be in Prague. We hope to organize it on December 18, the first anniversary of the Václav Havel's death. And basically, it should be connected with, I would say, the most important European legacy in the post-European world, which is dissidence, solidarity, human rights, and all these things. So certainly we are trying to explore the areas where we can really be effective.
And you talk about your job as a little bit being that in a Havel absurdist drama. There is one paradox that strikes me in the work of the library, is that your chief sponsor is one of the best known and more controversial Czech industrialists, known as a coal baron and various other things, a media magnate, Zdeněk Bakala. There has been discussion about to what extent this is good for the image of the library to be so much associated with somebody who is so much in the rough and tumble of post-communist Czech capitalism.
Well, first of all, I think it would be inappropriate for an institution to criticize someone who is willing to give us this substantive support. At the same time, I would say that our strategy should be to become as independent as we can, which means to diversify our sources of finances and so on and so forth. And so with Zdeněk Bakala, we have a very open communication about that. I think that our relationship with Zdeněk Bakala are very open, transparent, and obviously I'm not going to comment on his perception in the context of the Czech Republic, but he is one of those who really gives substantive amounts of money to support non-for-profit sector, and the library is very grateful for that.
There clearly is a certain problem of perception. For example, Václav Havel is a person who is very actively interested in conservation of historic buildings. Several of his plays even deal with issues connected with that, such as redevelopment, or even his last play, Leaving. And there are plans, architecturally controversial plans, to renovate a building on Loreto Square up at Hradčany near the castle to house the library and also to house a couple of luxury flats, one of them for Mr. Bakala. You can see why there's been a debate about this being, let's say, problematic, even if it's just in terms of the image of the library.
Well, this debate is so twisted and very absurd. There is someone here who is willing to put a substantive amount of money to the preservation of a historical building, and not only the preservation for the sake of preservation, but to give a new life to this particular building. So there is nothing, I think, wrong in that, and I would appreciate anyone who would come up with this intention and has his or her own idea to do something in this area. Obviously, every reconstruction can generate issues that are, as you have said, controversial, but there's not so many controversies.
So you'd be in favour of, let's say, adapting the plans maybe to make them more amenable to the conservationists, the Club for Old Prague, which has been particularly vocal in its criticism. Do you think, given, I mean, Havel was very much a man of consensus, let's say, that in that spirit it would possibly be logical to try and find a greater consensus in the question of the architecture of the building?
It seems, what I know about that, it seems to me that these problems are problems that can be resolved, and whatever I know from these concrete discussions from Mr. Tichy, who is the main architect, he, I think, feels the same. And
there is a slight irony in the fact that in the play Leaving, I remember there's this character, Klein, who has his eye on the outgoing Chancellor's villa, and he has these sort of ambitious plans to develop it and to make money out of it and to turn it into a residence for himself. And obviously this building on Loreto Square, one of the things that Mr. Bakala plans to do is to turn a part of it into a very pleasant, very luxurious flat for himself. It would be possible to see a parallel, at least.
I really still don't get your point. Here there is someone who puts his private money, buys a building, and he's so generous that he wants to give substantive part of that building to institution like the library. And it seems to me that the whole big picture is scandalously distorted.
The one thing that's missing is probably a Václav Klaus library, because that would be a wonderful counterpoint. They were, all through their post-1989 careers, the two statesmen were great rivals. They had very different visions of society. So maybe one day there'll be a rival institution called the Václav Klaus Library, which will also be part, let's say, of the legacy of the period of post-1989 in the Czech Republic.
The missing institution is already emerging. So there will be Václav Klaus Institute, as I've read in the past weeks. And this institute, I read today, is going to have very strong ambition to influence, especially the debate about the future of Europe. So there will be Václav Havel's library and Václav Klaus Institute here in Prague. And I hope that both institutes could contribute to our public debate and make it more interesting and more alive.
Martin Palosz, director of the Václav Havel Library, thank you very much indeed for talking to us.
My pleasure.